Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, hour number three is upon us. And Tony Francois joining us now. He is a property rights attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation. Tony, welcome back. You've been on with us before to Rush to Reason. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, John. Always happy to join you.
I appreciate it. All right, let's talk about it. And we in Colorado right now, as you know, have got numerous wildfires across our state. Some are growing very large. In fact, one of the the largest fire in state history is just up north of where we are here in Denver. And a lot of this, and I've talked about this on air numerous times, a lot of the reason why some of these fires grow the way they do is because of the undergrowth, the lack of fire management or mitigation that we've done over the years. Can communities force the government to actually take care of some of this?
Yeah, we think that they can. It's important to understand that the situation in our forest lands, which are predominantly federally owned.
Correct.
We're talking about our national forests and
BLM and so on.
The national parks. These are managed by agencies which have to live with and try to get their work done within this deep mess of conflicting requirements and conditions and planning systems and citizen suits that Congress has established for the mismanagement of our forests. And I think there are a lot of people in those agencies that want to do the right thing and reduce fuel loads.
And Tony, real quick, I'm glad you said that, because I by no means am just going to point fingers at everybody inside the federal government and say, hey, it's all you guys' fault. No, I think the way you just explained it a moment ago, very well said. This is not just a one-size-fits-all problem. There's a lot of facets to this.
There are, and unfortunately, Congress does not act and has not acted to simplify the rules under which the Forest Service in particular can do fuel reduction, or to provide the appropriate funding for them to do that work. And so there's really two routes forward that we need to take, one or the other, in order to escape from a new normal that is this annual cycle of catastrophic fires. I think one of the worst things that we can do is to just accept this as the way it's going to be for a while. So the first thing would be for Congress to rediscover its bipartisan good sense and to make the reforms that are necessary to cut through the red tape and the bureaucracy and the conflicting missions and actually enable the Forest Service and other agencies to get the fuel out of the forests, and that would include funding for it. Now, I think a lot of people...
I want to add one more thing to that, Tony. I know as a kid, and I've lived in Colorado my whole life, I'm a native, and I know as a kid, my dad was an outdoorsman, and we always had a wood stove at home and had the ability at that time, we had beetle kill back in the 70s, which, by the way, we have again today. And, back then, you could go up, the Forest Service had marked different parts of the forest where you could go in, and as a landowner or as just a regular citizen, you could cut down as much wood as you wanted to haul back out of there and make as many trips in and out as you wanted to. And in a lot of cases, my point is, there wasn't really any funding needed for what we were doing back in the 70s to help thin some of these forests out, especially from beetle kill. We just needed permission to go do it, which, by the way, we're not doing today.
No, that's a very good point. It's really important for listeners to understand that forest management wasn't always this way, and that most don't know that the Forest Service and the National Forest are part of the Department of Agriculture.
Right.
Okay? And our national forests are not conservation lands. I know that they have conservation uses, but their primary purpose is economic production. And part of the problem that's been created is that Congress has made it almost impossible for them to continue to be used that way. And that's why the fuel accumulates in them.
That's right.
Nobody's going out there and, not nobody, but far lower levels of commercial use are being made of the forest.
And to your point, Tony, at one time, again, go back to, as Colorado native, grew up here, and I can remember back in the day, you'd go elk hunting, deer hunting, you know, whatever the case was. And you know, you'd walk on old logging roads where, you know, the forest used to be logged at one time. And then, of course, even back then, some of that had already been shut down in the late 70s, early 80s. And more of that's even been shut off today from what it was back then, thereby exacerbating the very problem we're talking about.
No, and it's true as well that, you know, a lot of the problems, a lot of the work that needs to be done can be done without federal funding, so long as Congress is willing and able to reintroduce, to reallow commercial use of the forest that will have the same effects. Then where there's business incentives, people will do this simply by, as you say, being allowed to do it. And all of that, you know, in an orderly manner. I mean, nobody's calling for a...
No. You need... You'd still need some money spent to be able to manage some of what we're talking about. Let's face it, Tony, we're already spending as taxpayers some of that money anyways. It just needs redirected into the areas where we can actually get some of this stuff under control.
Exactly. Now, the research that we've done at Pacific Legal Foundation has been aimed at, and the work we've been doing, has been aimed at figuring out how, short of congressional action, which I think a lot of people...
Yeah, good luck.
Reasonably think is unlikely to happen soon.
Right.
What we've been looking for are you know, different strategies that you know, that people can pursue to get these reforms and this work done without relying on Congress and without being hamstrung by the, you know, the bureaucracy and the red tape that Congress has created. And we think we've found that in the ability of local communities, cities and towns that face you know, serious fire risk from the national forests, can actually go to federal court and bring nuisance claims against the federal agencies that manage those properties, and ask for abatement orders from those courts. And the concept is actually pretty simple. It's pretty much the same thing as if you or I were neighbors and for some reason or other, I let my home be abandoned and become derelict and then moved into by, you know, squatters or criminals,
right,
and turned into a drug den or a fire trap. The city we live in, certainly at your request, but probably on its own authority, is going to red tag my property. They're going to send me an order saying, get this cleaned up because right now it's a danger to your neighbors. And that's what we're talking about at PLF in terms of cities and towns being able to sort of reclaim the initiative in redirecting what's going on here.
Gotcha.
If they can sue the federal agencies for maintaining a nuisance on the forests, which in many cases they certainly are, unreasonable fire risk, then the court orders they can get can, we think, cut through that morass of bureaucracy and red tape, so that instead of the agency having to spend years coming up with what are we going to do to fix this and never being able to catch up to it, instead they can be ordered by a court. You've got, say, 90 days to submit a plan for approval, and then 120 to 180 days from then to actually execute it.
Gotcha.
And it's a pattern in American history where Congress won't do what's right on its own initiative. Unfortunately, at times it's necessary for the courts to order them to do what's right. And we think this is a viable option that the communities can look into and pursue.
Makes sense. Now, is this something where just a city or town, or is this something counties could do as well?
Our view of the legal research is that any local government could do it. I mean, really, we think a state could do it as well. Certainly a state could do it if it were inclined to. But any incorporated city or town or a county could certainly do it.
Makes total sense. Good stuff. Tony, I appreciate it very much. Tony Francois, property rights attorney at Pacific Legal Foundation. Tony, as always, thank you for joining us. Any updates, we'll take them. This is great. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Always happy to join you.
Thank you, sir, very much. I appreciate it. All right, let's do this. American National Insurance is up next. And as we talk about insurance, whether it's property, whether it's, you know, auto, whether it's life, you name it, Paul can help you with that. He's my individual, or my personal agent, I should say. He insures me and all the things that I have going on. He would love to help you as well. Great guy. He'd love to sit down and talk to you. 303-662-0789.
Get your unique vehicle insured for what you know it's worth. Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance gives you the coverage you expect, which means you have the money to replace your vehicle when something goes wrong. Here's a real story from a customer of Paul. A brand new custom vehicle in transport was not strapped on correctly. It fell off the transport vehicle and onto the highway through no fault of the owner. Because he had insured his vehicle with Paul Leuenberger, he filed a claim and replaced the vehicle, no questions asked. In fact, American National Insurance went to bat for him against the transport company to make sure he got the coverage he expected. With any other insurance, that story might have ended very differently. Make sure your unique vehicle is insured correctly so you get the coverage you expect. Call the personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance at 303-662-0789.
All right, Barber's Foods. I got notice today from Greg Bloom that the salmon is in. Now, that's the initial big salmon fillets. You can buy a box of those. Just go online. You can do that. Once you order it, you will get them delivered. So this is not a pre-order any longer. Just go ahead and get your salmon ordered, and you'll have it delivered. Now, on top of that, they will have the little, what they call the smoked salmon fillets. Those will be available next week. So right now, you can get the salmon and anything else they've got as well, whether it's beef, bison, pork, chicken, you name it, they've got it all. It's barbersfoods.com. And don't forget, with every order, you get 2 pounds of free ground Wagyu. 2 pounds of free ground Wagyu. I had some meat last night that I'd smoked up. And I tell you what, folks, still the most delicious meat you'll eat anywhere on the planet. And I mean that. Go to barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949, sourced from farm, ranch, and fishing families that they know personally. In September and October, Barber's Foods is proud to offer your family wild-caught Alaskan sockeye fillets, caught by their own fishermen who personally catch the salmon in the Bristol Bay of Alaska in a boat that they own and operate. Go to barbersfoods.com to pre-order your Alaskan salmon fillets. And while you're there, check out the Morgan Ranch Wagyu, Colorado-sourced USDA choice beef and bison, Beeler's non-GMO gestation, crate-free Duroc pork, and Pittman Farms family air-chilled chicken products. Stock up now and save 5% off your entire order with the code SAVE5. You care where your food comes from. So buy your proteins from Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned. Barber'sFoods.com.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So a topic that won't take me very long to discuss, but I wanted to just throw out there because I thought this was an interesting topic. I get lots of things that come into my inbox, things that are fed to me on a regular basis, and I saw something today I thought was interesting. It's an article in Rolling Stone. No, I don't read Rolling Stone. It's not one of my favorite, you know, news sources to go to, it's not even a news source, magazine websites to go to. It's not my favorite. Occasionally, I'll read something that shows up there. Something caught my eye, though, in something that came up today. Article is titled, Has COVID leveled peak TV? In other words, have we reached peak TV. In other words, the amount of stuff that is already out there to watch, the amount of money that a lot of these producers and studios are actually spending to make some of these TV shows and things that they are producing. There was an actual a podcast the other day that was on the TV's top five podcasts, where the Star Trek producer Alex Kurtzman dropped some numbers that made some of the folks that were actually there on the podcast probably made their jaws drop. And that was that even on some of these small screens, they are spending $300,000 to $500,000 just to cover their COVID cost for each episode. That's for PPE, all the things they have to do to distance, all the things they have to do when it comes to the food and the things that are going on behind the scenes, the cleaning and so on. They are spending between $300,000 to $500,000 on each episode. So what that means is those costs, of course, are going to go add up over a season. The other thing that's going to happen is some of these folks that have been making the kind of money that they've been making probably won't be making that money any longer, because it's going to have to go towards these costs. And then on top of that, how much more stuff could actually be put out that you need to go watch? I mean, I don't know about the rest of you. Charlie's maybe a little different than me, but I'm to the point where I have Dish TV or Dish Network. I don't really know, other than some of the sports things that frankly aren't even there any longer, I don't know why I even have it. The little bit of actual television that I watch is slim to none. I've even been watching things like the debates that'll be tomorrow night on Facebook, Facebook Live, places like that, which you can pick up easily. I really don't know. I don't know why most people even have TV. I really do see TV. This is one of those things that I see making a huge shift in the future. And I think all COVID did, I think it was coming anyways, by the way. I think all that's happened is COVID has sped a lot of that up. And as I've talked a lot, even with Andy on this program on a regular basis, when folks get used to establishing new habits and those new habits are formed, and even though the old may come back, if the new habit has been formed long enough, it won't. Now, if movies come back and theaters reopen, will people go watch movies? I think I would. In fact, I miss going to the movies. So I am one where, yes, I would go back, watch movies again, providing it's a decent movie to go see. I would go back to the movies and watch a movie. But I will tell you right now that with COVID and everything that's happened in the past 6 months to a year, am I going to go back to TV the way it once was? I think I'm going to tell you no, I'm not going back to TV the way it once was. I think Charlie has already, in fact, Charlie was a step ahead of me when it came to the TV watching and so on. And I think a lot of you out there listening are the same way. What this whole article is about, which, by the way, I found fascinating that it showed up on a website like Rolling Stone, it's basically talking about how the pandemic has resulted in a wave of unrenewals. In other words, some of these TV shows are not getting renewed because they're not being watched, and the amount of money that it takes to put them on just isn't worth it when it's all said and done. Charlie's shaking his head because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to see final seasons of certain shows come out. They're not going to be coming back. And what's next? I don't have an answer for that, folks. I don't know what's happening next in TV. I don't know what's happening next in sports. I'm not sure anybody has an answer to this stuff. But I'm here to tell you, it's going to change. What's it going to look like in the future? Honestly, I don't have an answer. Let's do this. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. What I do have a good answer for is your vehicle, getting it maintained, getting it ready, and we've got a snowstorm coming, potentially some weather coming this weekend. Snow, cold, low of 10 degrees. Make sure your vehicle's ready. Get that done by going to Extreme Auto Repair. You're running out of time. Find them at klzradio.com. Don't forget Cooper Tires with a $70 rebate, and they're sold to you at cost. Again, klzradio.com, 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers. That's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Flashing back, and no matter what you've got going on, folks, if you've been involved in an accident or the insurance company's not doing what they need to do, or you name it, whatever's going on, it doesn't have to be insurance either. Just whatever it is, legally speaking, Kevin is your guy. He does specialize in accidents and making sure that you are paid in full for all of the damages that are done, including to yourself. That's one of the things he specializes in, but he'll do anything. So give him a call today, 303-806-8886. Find him at fleshlawfirm.com, and that's spelled F-L-E-S-C-H.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
Red light cameras, what's the scoop on those?
First of all, you'll get something in the mail with a picture. The picture has to be the person that owns the vehicle. That's the only way that they can ID the driver is by the owner of the vehicle. So if you're driving someone else's vehicle and they get the ticket and your picture is on it, tell them to throw it away because they'll never be able to ID who it is that was driving. So even worst case scenario, I'm driving my own vehicle. I go through an intersection. They get a good picture. They will send me a notice. I still say throw that away.
Yeah, because they need to serve you.
That's right. And if they personally serve you, then you have to deal with it. But if they don't, trash.
Yeah, trashola.
It's a complete revenue generator.
It's all it is.
Yes.
It's just a tax.
Yep.
It's a driving tax.
That's exactly what
it is. That's all it is, people.
Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Common sense legal advice. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Fleshlawfirm.com.
Folks, we all need help from time to time, and that's what Al Smith does when it comes to your financial future. He is a financial advisor and will help you with how you get there. And as I talked earlier in the program, when it comes to investing, everybody's got a different way of doing that, a different idea of doing that, and how you're going to make that happen, and Al can help you with that. He is a financial advisor. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-744-1128.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement. For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange a free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And Liz Mayer is supposed to be joining us, trying to get her an email out to find out if she is going to join us. She can get tied up with all the different things that she does. And anyways, we'll see if we can't get her on air with us. So in the meantime, though, Charlie was just talking, too, about how a moment ago, or during the break, I should say a moment ago, we talked about Netflix, and they've got some very, very big shows that they've been running for a while that they have decided to actually cancel, which goes back to what I was just talking about earlier when it comes to peak TV. Now, it's funny they use peak TV like they used to talk about peak oil back in the day, but yeah, the reality is, are we at a point where TV is going to change in the future, and yes, I believe it is. So that's just one of those things that, you know, things change as time goes by, and that will be one of those things that most likely does as well. I know myself personally, I've said this before, but I'll keep saying it. That's one of those things where, you know what, I just don't watch TV like I used to, period, and, you know, that's all there is to it. All right, Denver Airport, DIA, has launched a TSA reservation app to limit the crowds and to restore traveler confidence amid COVID-19. So people leery of traveling through the pandemic may feel a little more relaxed if flying through Denver International Airport, which is testing a new pilot program designed to ensure social distancing. The free and optional app, it's called Verify Fly. That's V-E-R-I, Verifly, is the first of its kind. It's currently only available at Denver's airport. The program allows travelers to reserve a spot for TSA screening and provides a limited train car capacity to their gate. So I guess if you're really paranoid about COVID, you can use this app, gets you a time where you can go to TSA with more distancing, and then actually gives you a less crowded train car to get to your gate. Quote, as we continue to face the challenges and concerns of COVID-19, we know that travelers are more focused on their health and are looking for ways to reduce contact with others, airport CEO Kim Day said in a statement. As a result, we created the program which will bring more confidence and comfort to those travelers who are more susceptible to illness, who are looking for additional safety procedures. This is our first step in creating a more touchless journey through the airport while we continue to enhance travelers' experience. Real quick, just a side note. Kim, could you just get the bloody thing done? The airport, I mean. The remodel. All the junk that's going on out there. I'm not sure we're ever going to see the end of that. To me, Kim, that's a more important issue than creating a new app and making sure everybody's social distance at the airport. If they're that worried about their safety, would they be getting on the airplane in the first place? Folks, I'm not trying to be rude or coy, but I'm really being serious. If somebody's that worried about their health and they're worried about catching COVID, would you go put yourself on a germ tube in the sky in the first place? So the program is designed to be scaled at Denver's airport and others across the country. Denver airport officials have already received interest from other airports. DIA spokesman Alex Renteria said Tuesday in an email to Colorado Politics. The technology platform was developed by Doan, a biometrics company based in D.C. They and DIA announced their partnership in early June to bring contactless biometric solutions to travelers. Which, by the way, just a side note, the contactless and even using the biometric end of things to travel and making things more smooth and touchless, if you would, in the airport. You know, I'm all for that, but I'm not worried about catching COVID when I travel because I've already been on an airplane and I will go on another one and I have no issues doing that. So Verifly, by the way, that's V-E-R-I-F-L-Y. It's available on Apple and Android devices. It's interesting. It says it's available on Android and Apple devices for now. For now, that's the only two devices, platforms that I know of that are actually out there. It allows passengers to reserve a 15-minute window to pass through designated TSA airport security lines. Flyers can make reservations up to 2 weeks in advance. They'll be asked to complete a health questionnaire 24 hours before the flight. If deemed healthy, on the day of the flight, they will proceed to a touchless electronic gate that will scan a mobile QR code and check passengers' temperatures. If the temperature is below 100.4, flyers are free to continue through TSA screening for both standard and TSA pre-checked approved passengers. Once through security, passengers will board dedicated train cars, which are limited to a dozen people per car. Flyers traveling with children can add an additional passenger to their reservation. DIA and Doan are pursuing additional solutions in the coming months, including a touchless retail experience in which travelers could potentially use their pre-enrolled identities and mobile devices to quickly touchless transactions in stores and restaurants. By the way, that doesn't bother me at all. I know some of you that does, but for me, not having to have somebody, you know, handle my, you know, whether it's me swiping a terminal or dinking with all of that stuff, we live in a day and age now to where if I want to pay with my phone, I should be able to just pay with my phone and move on. I know for a lot of you, that's a scary thing, but again, teach his own. It doesn't bother me. To a lot of you, it does. If it does you, then, you know, use the old-fashioned way. I really don't care. But to me, it doesn't bother me. Again, I have no issues flying. I know there's a lot of folks out there that don't want to. To me, it's just not a big issue. If I need to go someplace, I'm going to still fly. I'm not going to get on a car and drive. I know, though, from coaching all the different automotive shops that I talk to on a regular basis, the folks in Colorado Select and so on, and drive radio. The reality is there's a lot of folks out there that are not traveling by air. They are traveling by car. They have done different things when it comes to their automobile and their transportation needs. And just in general, more people are driving than flying. You know what? To each his own. So be it. We all know that's happening because the airline industry has not come back to where it was pre-COVID. So, yes, we all know that folks are not flying as much as they were. In my opinion, is this going to change the way people want to fly? No. Sorry, folks, it's not going to. This might be a help to some individuals, but this is not going to bring people back to flying. What will is overall consumer confidence in not wearing masks and getting back to normal. That will bring people back to flying. This is not going to help people fly more. Sorry, it's just not. If you got a comment on this, 303-477-5600, let me know. I don't feel like TSA reservations and an app to go along with it are going to make people fly more than they are now. That's my own impression. You may have your own. I don't think it's going to change anything, but maybe you think it will. 303-477-5600. All right, we've got a debate coming up tomorrow night. Most of you know that. A lot of you will watch it. I will, just because of what I do here. Hopefully it will be better than the last debate as far as Trump's side is concerned. Yes, I'm a Trump supporter. If you haven't figured that out by now, I don't know what to tell you, but yes, I am on that side. But the debate moderator in this particular debate has a video surfacing of this particular moderator tipping off Hillary Clinton's campaign on interview questions in 2016. So once again, Donald Trump will be debating not only Joe Biden, but in this case, the moderator as well. No shock there. That's just the way things work typically on Trump's side of the fence. So he will then again have to debate the moderator and Joe Biden. Yes, that's how this will end up working. Like any of you out there listening are shocked. I'm not shocked. We pretty much already figured that. But this particular reporter, NBC News reporter Kristen Welker, the debate moderator for the final presidential debate, has strong ties to Democrat activism and has even been caught on camera tipping off a member of the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign about at least one question that was going to be asked during the interview, or during an interview, I should say. She comes from an established Democrat family who has poured cash into the party coffers and to Trump opponents for years, a New York Post reporter said. Her mother, Julie Welker, a prominent real estate broker in Philadelphia, and father, Harvey Welker, a consulting engineer, have donated tens of thousands of dollars to Democrat candidates and close to $20,000 to Barack Obama alone. There was also $3,300 for Joe Biden's 2020 campaign, $2,100 for Hillary Clinton's campaign, and another $7,300 contributed to the DNC between 2004 and 2020. The report comes after Chris Wallace, a registered Democrat who moderated the first debate, and Savannah Guthrie, who hosted a town hall last week with President Donald Trump, have both been widely criticized for bias during those two events. Yeah, there was not just a little bit of bias. There was a ton of bias. The reality is this isn't going to change anything this time around. Trump will be debating not only Joe Biden tomorrow night, but Mrs. Welker, as well. She was a registered Democrat in D.C. in 2012 and in Rhode Island in 2004. And as her tenure as a White House correspondent, she has earned a reputation for a scathing style of questioning. So for all of you that will be watching the debate tomorrow night, just remember, Trump will be debating the moderator as well. I hope this time around that Trump's team has got him more prepared in this area than last. And I just hope tomorrow's debate comes off, a lot better than the last one did. Enchanted Kitchens, folks, is next. They want to help you with all of your needs around the kitchen. Make that the enchanted place of your home, and they can do that for you. Make it the centerpiece of your home. But if you want that done by Christmas, you got to get hustling now and get that done. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-376-7588.
The Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center feels like home, only better. The design process at Enchanted Kitchens always begins in their award-winning showroom because their team believes you need to see, touch, and feel your new kitchen ahead of time. Built to look like a nicer version of your own home with an open floor plan, the Experience Center allows you to visualize a kitchen that works. Standing inside a true-to-life example of a functional kitchen, you can start to imagine how much more you'll enjoy your new space, solidifying your vision for your home. Then, the Enchanted Kitchens design team will bring samples into your home to help truly picture your new kitchen and discuss the design based on your budget and style. Visit the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center and feel at home, only better. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/kitchens and schedule a free design consultation at the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center, where magic meets design.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, if you want to pay for that kitchen, that Enchanted Kitchen, Kirk can help you with that. He'd love to show you how. 720-895-0500. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
Choose an agent that represents you, not the insurance company. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts, an independent insurance broker, for a complimentary analysis of your current insurance plans. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon rush, KLZ 560. A couple of things I want to go over. Yes, COVID-related. I started off today's show talking about COVID and going to end today's show with COVID. By the way, you got a comment on this, feel free to call 303-477-5600. Joe sent me an article, COVID rates, fatality rates from COVID, I should say, are dropping sharply everywhere. And this is things that we've talked about here in the past several weeks, and the reality is they are. Now, I will be the first to admit, I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a scientist. I'm a guy, though, that can read numbers, because I do that on a daily basis, and it's not hard for me to read numbers and know what they actually say. I can look at charts and graphs and numbers and look at the data inputs, look what's coming in and going out and so on. It's really not that hard to figure out. So for the second straight day, a bright light shines through the gloom of a darkening COVID outlook for the fall. Yesterday, the good news was that fears of schools becoming mass incubators of coronavirus appear to be overblown. Yeah, because kids, we've already determined, folks, don't spread this. Positivity rates across a sample of tens of thousands of students and staff in New York City are minuscule. This article says maybe we can have safe in-class instruction this fall. Well, we've already got some folks already doing that, and I don't know why it's saying this fall. We're already in fall. This article, by the way, was written yesterday. Posted last night at 7:31 p.m. Today's news is even better. As cases explode in Europe and climb towards a new peak in the U.S., a tantalizing mystery has emerged. Why aren't we seeing the same crushing death tolls in hotspots that we saw in the spring? Deaths are rising in Europe from their summer lows, upwards of 150 daily on bad days in the U.K. and in France, but they're nowhere near the glory levels of April, even though both countries are setting records in the number of daily cases. The trends in cases and deaths here in the U.S. are also diverged a while ago. The pessimistic theory of why deaths in Western countries haven't approached their spring peaks is that the number of infections during the spring was much, much greater than the meager testing available at the time. Deaths still track cases under this theory. The spring death toll was a simple function of there having been a gigantic hidden epidemic at the time. The more optimistic theory is that science has simply caught up to some degree people who would have died if they were infected in March or surviving now because doctors have gotten better and better equipped to treat the disease. According to the NPR, two new studies suggest that the optimistic theory is correct. COVID has become less lethal. It goes back to what I was talking about in the first hour. Now, by the way, I will tell you that if either of these theories is correct, which, by the way, maybe it's halfway in between. The pessimistic theory that there was a huge pandemic at the time and the death rate was way high because a lot more people had it. Okay, whatever. So, if that's the case, so be it. On the same token, we have gotten better at actually treating COVID. And as President Trump just proved here recently, getting people to recover from COVID, even elderly people, i.e. Donald Trump. We have learned how to do that better than we did back in April, March and April. What I'm saying and why I'm so against all of these shutdowns, lockdowns, mask wearing nonsense that we're in the middle of is, number one, we don't need it. Again, folks, I'm not an epidemiologist, but you can look at the data and you can look at articles like this where other people have extrapolated the same data and have figured out that the reality is your chances of dying from COVID, if caught, is minuscule. It's not that big of a deal, yet we continue to hear folks like Kevin Polis come on TV like he did yesterday and talk about how we should step up, Colorado. That was what he said yesterday. I think that's the mode we're in now, I think, Charlie, is step up, Colorado. That's what he's now got us doing. Isn't that the new phrase? Yeah, the new phrase. Step up, Colorado, I think it is. And by the way, this is a guy that probably hasn't shopped for his own groceries in eons. But he's telling you to step up. What I'd like to say is, let's step out, Colorado, out from behind the mask that we're all wearing and from this nonsense of lockdowns. Let's step out, not step up. Let's step out from behind this curtain that Governor Polis has put in front of us. And even if cases rise, so be it. And no, I'm not talking about any kind of a herd immunity. I'm not an expert in that. I don't know how herd immunity works, nor do I care. All I know is we cannot run around as a society forever chasing and, you know, and running away from a quote-unquote virus that we might all catch anyways. At some point, the economy has to open up. People have to get back to work. There was a big article, I think, in today's, I can't remember what might have been 9 News Westward, I can't remember where I read it, where, you know, is it how do you pronounce it, Charlie? The folks that take care of the Pepsi Center and Coors Field, Amarac? Can't ever pronounce the stupid name. Aramac. Is it Aramac or Amarac? Aramac. I don't remember. Whatever it is. Charlie will look it up for me. They were talking today about how many people they're going to have to lay off because of the shutdowns in their world. Sporting events, concerts, things along those lines. Folks, we've got to get people back to work. The alternative of them not working far outweighs whether or not some of us get COVID or not. And I put in that word us, as in myself included. We've got to get things back to normal. And for all of you that are on that gravy train of keeping things shut down forever, folks, you're not looking at things correctly. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm glad you listen. I'm glad you send me really lengthy emails, to, you know, basically, you know, putting your side of the story into perspective. I get it. The problem is I'm not on that side, and I won't be, because it doesn't work. You can't keep a society shut down indefinitely because we're worried about COVID and we're waiting for some sort of a miracle vaccine, which may or may not exist, by the way. And people may or may not take. I, for one, am not going to take one. I'm not. I don't need it. I'm young. I'm healthy. I'll take care of myself. I'll make sure my immune system is up. If I get COVID, I get COVID. I'll recover. I'm not worried about it. And you know what? If I die, I know where I'm going. It's not the end of the world in either case. Somebody else will fill my shoes here, by the way. It's not something I'm losing sleep over. Neither should you. The problem we've got is the news media has hyped this thing up to the point where even a lot of you conservatives have bought into this crap. A lot of Christians have bought into this junk. I'm not going to call it junk science, but what I'm going to call it is science that's wrong, that the numbers don't prove. The head epidemiologist here in Colorado that wanted to run, or that is running things in Colorado and probably would have run things nationwide, predicted 4 million deaths from COVID early on. Boy, was that guy wrong. Still wrong. Now, am I saddened at the fact we've lost over 200,000 lives? Absolutely, folks. No one deserves to die. But here's the deal. We all are going to at some point. And the reality is a lot of the people that died from COVID were probably, in a lot of cases, past what their prime was and what they would have lived on average anyways. I'm not making light of their life by any means or making light of their death. But the reality is a lot of those folks had 1 foot, if not 2 feet, in the grave anyways. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. If you want to buy a new car or truck, it's the place to go. It's literally like going back in time. Love those guys out there. They really are solid. They'll take care of you. There's not another place in town that I would send you to buy a car or truck. They're it. Go to purifychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purifoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And by the way, really appreciate all of you listening. And yeah, I did mean what I said earlier. If something happened to me, you know what? Show goes on. Life goes on. My business goes on. You know, your family continues on. That's why you need folks like Michael Bailey around to make sure that things are handled once you're, you know, gone from here. But I'm just not somebody that worries about death on a daily basis. I don't let that frighten me. I never have. I never will. It's not how I was raised. It's not a part of my faith. And I'm going to live life to its fullest every single solid day, COVID or not. And I wish the rest of the world would start to do the same thing. We'd all be a lot better off at the end of the day if we would do so. So I'll leave you with that. Tomorrow, Steve House will join us. We have Vince Thompson also joining us talking about branding. Mark Mix will join us as well. And Terry Jones, by the way, will be back tomorrow. He was the founder of Travelocity. And actually reached out to Terry Jones to see if we could get back on, talk about travel and just some of the things that are going on with the pandemic and travel and so on. So we'll talk to him tomorrow as well. But enjoy your night. National Crawford Roundtable is next. This has been Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.